This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 50 of Horsemanship Radio, brought to you by Index Fund Advisors, IFA.com. Horsemanship Radio is a part of the family of the Horse Radio Network. And today we have two wonderful horse persons from Hungary. We have Sophie Bruckner and we have Balázs Vermish, and you'll find them really exciting because not only are they young and cutting edge in the horse world, but there is horseback archery involved in this conversation. This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. Thank you for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 15th and the 30th of the month, and I have my producer, Glenn, with me here today. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Debbie. I'm so glad I'm here today because we have to talk about something very exciting.
I hope it involves your coming out here and visiting.
Well, that, yes, we are going to be out there in, 2 weeks from now?
Oh, my gosh, yes, yeah. Really fast. I'm so excited.
And I'm so excited that you invited us to come over to the farm and we get to hang out with you and Pat. I don't know is Monty away that weekend?
He is still away. He has a date right after that, so he will still be in England. Yep.
Okay. So, but we get to see you and Pat, and we get to hang out. And Jennifer's so excited to visit with all the horses and the trainers and everything. You know, she'll be just distracted the whole day. So
I hope so. Yeah. That's my goal. Is you guys are on vacation, you get to have a little horsey away from time.
Yeah, she'll have fun with that. And we got to go to that place Saturday night that Monty takes everybody.
Right.
Whatever that bar is called.
I knew you'd be talking about the saloon.
Yes, whatever
it's called. The Maverick Saloon.
Yeah, the Maverick. That's right. Apparently, that's where you have to go. That's your initiation into Solvang.
Kind of. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, some people think about Danish cookies and things. No. We think about beer and sawdust on the floor. That's it.
So anyway, we are looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to visit with Jamie first in Arizona and then head out your way. So,
I envy you. That's going to be such a fun road trip.
We've never been to the Grand Canyon. We're going to be doing that too. We're spend a couple days up there and we have a train trip planned. Jennifer's a big train nut. So,
I see.
Yeah, we're going to do a train trip through the canyons there. That should be fun.
Awesome.
Be a good time.
Sounds really fun, you guys.
And she's never seen the Pacific Ocean in person either, and you're not too far from that. So.
Oh, no. I didn't even know that. We're just a little valley inlet from the ocean.
So we have to go down and stick our toes in the water.
Have to do that. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We're right where the surf dudes and the great whites are.
It's no problem. You go. We'll just stick our toes in. We'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, just the toes.
Can't afford to lose one or two of those.
We only use the beach to actually ride on.
Yes.
It's really nice.
She could arrange that. Jennifer would be thrilled. She's done the Atlantic Ocean. She hasn't done the Pacific.
So. Oh, we have to give her an initiation here. Absolutely. We got willing partners, really quiet, lovely horses that just love the ocean. So we'll have to do that. If you have time.
We're going to be there for 2 days. We might as well do something, right?
Oh, that's awesome, you guys. Yes, we will have a great time. You're going to love all the horse people in the valley. I mean, we've got every discipline you can imagine in this small little valley. And it's just a little pocket of horse heaven.
Very good. Well, and I'm excited about something else, too, coming up on the Horse Radio Network. We'll make the announcement here for the first time on the Horsemanship Radio Show. And that is that the Horse Radio Network is doing the first ever 12-hour live holiday marathon, radiothon, we're calling it, sponsored by WeatherBeta and horselovers.com. And what's going to happen is we are going to be live on the air November 30th, Cyber Monday. We figured everybody's theoretically at their computers that day, right? So we're going to be November 30th. It's going to be a holiday party, basically a party all day for 12 hours. And we're going to play music, and we're going to have famous names in the horse world calling in, riders and otherwise from the horse world. And it's all about your favorite holiday memories. That's the theme of this year. You know how the Rose Parade always has a theme. Well, that's our theme this year, is your favorite holiday memories. So we're going to have these top names calling in and telling your favorite holiday memories. The hosts are going to be doing that. And we're going to ask our listeners to call. So we need Horsemanship Radio listeners to call
in. That's right. Come on, you guys. You got to help me. I'm the little guy.
Now, Dr. Wendy and I from the Driving Radio Show are going to be hosting all day. She's coming up and going to be in the studio here in Ocala, and she's going to be with us all day, and I'll be there all day, and Coach Jen will be producing all day. And but we're, you know, give us a break. We're going to have all the hosts from the other shows come on an hour at a time. And your hour is when?
Mine will be 1 p.m. Eastern time.
So and it's not just you either.
That's right. We will have some mystery guests as well. Absolutely.
But you also have a co-host that's kind of special.
Well, Monty will be there, of course.
Well, Monty, but who's going to be sitting in the whole? Don't forget your mother.
Oh, sorry, Mom. Of course, she props me up. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pat is joining you the whole day. So the whole hour, she'll be joining in. And we're so excited to have Pat on the air with us, too. And we want to hear some of the stories of the holidays in the Roberts family.
And we're going to have to make some agreements ahead of time. But yeah, we thought it'd be really fun since it is that Thanksgiving weekend. And it's one of the few weekends where we really can get a lot of people together on the farm and talk stories. We do starting on Thursday with Thanksgiving. Probably a lot of people do. So we should have some really good ones by this time that November 30th rolls around.
Well, that's terrific. And we're going to be giving away prizes every hour. We have six horse rescues that we're going to highlight all day long. And they're going to highlight a Christmas adoption horse, a horse that's available for adoption for Christmas. So, and they're going to be from all around the country, all different breeds that we'll be highlighting all day long. We have prizes, one every hour. And then we have a grand prize at the end of the day that we'll be announcing that's worth over $500. So I think we're going to be giving away close to, it's going to be over $2,000 worth of prizes that day.
That's amazing.
So it's just going to be a dressage for an hour, an eventing for an hour, an endurance for an hour, and the CHA is going to be there for an hour. And of course, horsemanship will be there for an hour, and hit 'em and stable scoop, and all the different shows will be represented all day. And we're going to also ask for something else. If you can't call in that day and say hi and tell us about your favorite holiday memory, we're going to have a voicemail line. And there's a lot of competition going on now amongst the hosts who can get the most to leave voicemails or sound files. You can even record it on your phone and send us a sound file. But we want you to be creative. Sing a Christmas song, write a poem, sing a Christmas song about Monty. Come up with something clever. Have your kids do it or whatever. We want fun, interesting stuff. We've done this before on the Horses in the Morning show, and the listeners came up with the most fun things. They were singing, they were playing instruments, they had written poems. We had Lisa Kelly, who is the very famous Ice Road Trucker from the Ice Road Trucker show, the star of that show. She listens to our shows, and she was driving the ice roads when she heard this call out, and she actually wrote a poem, pulled over on the ice roads, and recorded it and sent it to us. So we had some real celebrities chiming in with some
really
fun stuff.
Get your creative juices going.
Yes.
This sounds so fun. So this is your first annual, though, right?
This is the first annual. Like, and thank you to WeatherBeta for sponsoring the whole day, and to Horse Lovers for sponsoring the voicemails. And then we have a bunch of other sponsors that are really helping make this happen, because it is an event to try and pull this off live for 12 hours.
I can't imagine.
But now, if you can't listen live, don't worry, because we will put them, we're going to break them into hour pieces. Every hour, we'll break them into 12 of them. And then we're going to put the horsemanship one out on the horsemanship feed that week. So if you missed Debbie's hour, Debbie and Pat and Monty's hour live, you'll be able to listen to it on this show's feed. And then all the other hours will be available as well.
Well, plan ahead, though, and send that file for me, too, and help me out here. But tell me about the 6 p.m. is Horse Husbands. What are you doing with that, Glenn?
Well, we have a new Horse Husband segment on Horses in the Morning that Timothy co-hosts with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that hour will be reserved for all men.
That's you, too.
Yeah, we don't allow women on our show. It's all men. And what we do is basically we talk about our perils and how hard, difficult our life is living with horse women, and the trials and tribulations that go along with that. And then we just interview, interesting horse husbands, and we'll have some very famous horse husbands calling in, too. So, because we have our own problems.
That's right. That's of course you do. And the whiners.
That's the whiny show.
That's the whiny show. You guys are so much fun, though. This is going to be great. We get all represented in one whole day. That's going to be a lot
of
fun.
And, you know, what better time than the holidays, right?
I mean, everybody, better time.
We're going to play a lot of music and
great causes. You've got everything in there. Yeah, you've got a reason to be. I'm sure that this will kick off the holidays for everybody. This will be
I think it'll become an annual event that everybody will really look forward to, too.
There you go. Jen just hates to hear that, probably.
Yeah, she didn't like this idea much. She said, you have 20 hosts and one producer. Exactly when am I going to eat and go to the bathroom in 12 hours?
Poor Jen. She's
I have to eat every couple hours, Glenn. So we're going to get her some help.
We can't kill our producer. We need her to survive this. So,
and we're going to have people, because that's the season two in Ocala here, where some of the riders start to descend upon Florida. So I'm sure we'll have some guests stopping into studios here live, too.
Good time.
So it should be fun.
That's great.
But we're going to announce more, and we'll give you all the details about where you can submit your submissions and how the prizes are going to work and all of that stuff coming up on future episodes.
Well, good. Thanks for announcing here.
Yay.
Really.
Yay. Well, now we got a guest, don't we?
We do. We do.
We got a couple, actually.
Yeah, we do. We have...
Wait a minute. I have to put on my armor before you interview these two.
Okay.
I need my armor because it could be dangerous.
Yes. Well, there is one out of the two. One is teeny tiny. She is about 100 pounds. And so she's probably not going to produce any problems for you. But Balazs, on the other hand, Balazs Vermes, you can see him on his Facebook page, is a very tall, a very in shape. He has been doing this for 18 years. And he's a young guy. He started about age 3 and started riding about 7 or 8. But he became very proficient in the horseback archery. And he began to train at a very young age under one of the most, well, he is probably for 20 years now, the most famous horseback archer in Hungary. So we're going to hear a lot of interesting history and also a lot of about a sport that I think will be growing internationally in the next 10 years or so.
And we're going to do that right after this word from IFA.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Hebner, president of Index Fund Advisors and proud owner of Monty Roberts' Willing Partners graduate, He's a Sugar Bear. You know, investment portfolios are a lot like horses. You need to find one that best suits you, your temperament, and your stage of life. Some people might like an energetic horse and an aggressive investment portfolio, while others are more comfortable with a gentle ride and a more conservative investment portfolio. The trick is to find the one that's right for you. That's what Index Fund Advisors is all about, matching people with portfolios, risk-appropriate, low-cost, and globally diversified investment portfolios. You can find the right portfolio for you by taking the Risk Capacity Survey at IFA.com. That's IFA as in Index Fund Advisors. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-643-3133. That's 888-643-3133.
We're very fortunate to have two wonderful horsemen from Hungary. Can you say hi to the listeners?
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
You can hear we've got some accents going here. Sophie is our support system. Balazs just literally got off the plane about, I don't know, 10
two
days
weeks,
ago, yeah. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Almost three.
Almost three. And is this the farthest you've gone outside of Hungary on a trip?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have a talent.
The big trip.
It's a big trip. How many hours are you in a plane?
15
hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have gone just about anywhere on the earth and gotten there.
Yeah. I think so.
And we're lucky to have Sophie, who is actually not that far away from us. She's Sacramento?
Almost. I'm in King City. It's about 2.5 hours north from here.
Yes, very close. But she happened to marry an American man, smart girl, and she is now living here. And we've been fortunate to have her go through several of the courses, and she's well on her way to becoming a certified instructor, and that's the goal.
That's the goal.
Yes, that's the goal.
And she was actually here at Flags at Farms, where we are recording this, when Jamie Jennings, the co-host of Horses in the Morning, was here, and you were on interning and as a part of the Gentling Wild Horses course.
Yes.
How was that?
That was wonderful. That was an awesome experience. And Jamie is just an amazing person. It was so pleasure to meet her and her whole family. So that was very loving. And the course was, wow, I learned a lot too. And it was really good to take part in as well. So yeah. I loved the whole thing.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was the first time we've ever put this course on. So how was that? You were part of the, probably organizing it a little bit too, because you were here before the course started. What went into some of that, getting ready for that?
I wasn't really part of the organizing it.
Getting the horses or anything?
No. Yeah, the horses, yeah. We prepared them a little bit. I mean, we tested them, how they would act. But the magical part was that we didn't know what to expect. So we had several people, experienced people, and a few they never had really experience with wild horses. And that was the key point of it, because nobody knew where or how it's going to be. And it's just happened, and we just made it fit to everybody. And they all loved it.
You guys came out of that 2 week. It was a 2 week program. Took the weekend off in between.
Yeah.
But really, it was an intense, almost like going back to camp. And you guys came out like a family at the end of that. What was that like?
Yes, it was beautiful. And it was really interesting to see other people, other really experienced people, to work with those horses and like to learn from each other. And they helped a lot, us too. So, and mostly with others too, who had less experience with the white horses, they worked really good together. So that was another interesting part to see.
Yeah, very interesting. And you don't often get Monty here teaching a course like that, brand new course.
Oh, yeah.
Having him in that gentling facility too, was that a unique experience for you?
It was a unique experience. And I loved how he learned as well during the course. And he's really open to new things, to learn from the horses every time. And it's just so wonderful to see.
I know that they had a show recently on Horses in the Morning where Gabe, who was also part of the class, talked a little bit about Random. What were your impressions about Random now that we know a little bit about him?
He and his horse was my favorite part of the course, actually. Random was just so unique. And I'm very happy that he's happy now. So he got loose.
The sanctuary.
And he can live as a horse now. Even if we saw a lot of really nice progress. And like after a while, after a few days, I could just go in and pat his forehead. That was magical. And so I knew he had trust, but it was hard on him to be around people. And this way, it's less stressful for him. So I'm happy for him and happy for Gabe. And it was very amazing them to be here and see how they progress together and just step by step see the magic of it.
Fantastic. She's got a big smile on her face as we're saying this. So Random touched a lot of lives too. And so when you heard that we have Balázs coming over all the way from Hungary, what was your impression about horseback archery? What did you know about horseback archery?
I got super excited when I hear the story and he's coming, because it's just very unique. I mean, we are a small country, and I've never really... I met Hungarian people here, but not too much. And, like, coming somebody here who knows a lot about horses and something I never really experienced, the archery thing, and become like a famous person here as a Hungarian. It's just so exciting for me. I saw some shows in Hungary. We have big events, so I saw horseback archery before. But when I saw his video before he came here, that was so unique, because that show demonstrated something unique. Communication, unique connection with the horses. So it wasn't only about shooting arrows. It was really a connection with the horses. So they do something special.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Sophie is talking about some video. If you go on YouTube, Balaj, we can see video of guys on horseback and gals on horseback charging through look like maybe two ropes, like they've formed a trail that the horses can go on so that your hands are free to shoot. But you don't do that. The video that I saw, or maybe you do, but the video I saw was of the horses being very still at a lot of times, and you're actually shooting, or what do you call it? Shooting? Is it your
archering?
Archering. Okay, yeah. That's there. Archering from the horseback, or sometimes you're moving. But tell us a little bit about how you got to be a champion horseback archer, and is it a growing sport? I'd love to hear something from the Hungarian point of view about the sport.
It is a growing sport, but it is a very, very young sport now, because it is just our master, Lajos Kasai. It started in the end of 80s, so it is a young sport, and on the world is very young, on the whole world, because he was the first man who started in the new age, and Hungarian people look at a different way, horseback archery, because it for us not just a sport, it is one part, but it is a tradition, and it is a martial arts to us, for my school, the Kashai school. And we have a sports part, of course, but it's not the main part. I think every part is very important in this breedman. It's a discipline.
So there's different elements that are important to you in this sport.
But the peak, the goal, it is the competition, of course.
Okay. Yeah.
So we need to earn points, and we need to ride on horse and archering at the same time. So it is a big challenge for us, but it's so important, the physical part of the
mental.
The mental part. It is very, you need big discipline in your body, and control everything, the horse, you, the movements, and so I think it is very complete.
You're a complete discipline, so mind, body, horse. So how do you choose your horses, first of all?
Good question. We choose horses about the patient and the health, of course, but nothing special as for example a gallop horse or a good reining horse, because we don't need a special properties or breed, because it's not a big we don't need a big speed or very good turning property. So we need a horse just train and go straight and listen to cues. Mm-hmm. So
is it more like the horse personality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course the look like, but
you want a good looking horse
too. Yeah.
But they don't need speed. They need a good mind. They need a good mental approach.
Stable.
And very stable. So most of your cues are coming from your legs, because you've got your
arms and from my body. Yeah,
and from your body. So tell
us. We don't use reins.
You don't use reins at all
until the horseback archering. Yeah. So we need to train a horse to the leg and the body cue.
Mm-hmm. And do you start with a horse, like for you, because you're a champion, so let's learn from you and not what everybody else does. But do you want a horse that's never been trained before when you get your horse, or do you prefer to have Lajos Kasai train him first, or how do you do it?
I use my own training system, but I learned from Lajos and from my father, because he is one of the leaders of the school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all my family do it.
Is that right?
So I learn from everybody who can help me and who have some good advices. But I use my own system, or of course, because everybody make this learning from his from own claim.
Mm-hmm. Motivation. Your
yeah,
own,
yeah. What you need exactly, mm-hmm. then you try. Train the horse to this direction.
Okay. So if you've got a good horse and you're trained and everything now, tell me about the archery part. Because I don't know anything about how you score or keep points or, you know, I imagine hitting the center of a target is your big goal. But tell us if we don't know anything about horseback archery.
It is the competition, but we are using horseback archery everywhere. It's not just on this track.
Okay.
So we need the horse go not just straight or on in the circle, but in the battlefield, because we make
based
some demonstration
tradition.
Or shows. But the competition, it we have a straight track. It is a 99 meter, and in the middle of the track there is a target, 9 meter from the track.
Okay,
and it is 90 centimeters big as a circle. Yeah, and there are circles. The middle is 30 centimeters, mm. and the second is 60, and the biggest, the last is 90 centimeters. And the middle is 4 point, the second is 3, and the last is 2 points.
Mm.
And you can shoot as many arrows you can on the track, but the horse has just 20 seconds to pass this distance.
He has to make it in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you start, there are two gates, in the end and in the beginning, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through into the two gates, you can start the shoots. And you shoot, and in the end, you gain...
Sorry, you said you shoot an Indian?
No. In the end, when you
in the end, okay,
yeah.
Got you. Okay,
when
I,
you
with my brain
when
was
you finished
an Indian,
when you finished your gallop, these points are count together,
mm-hmm.
and what the horse earned from this 20 seconds, it is plus for this,
okay.
and you have 9 gallops, and there is a result.
Okay,
together.
That's interesting that you said the horse's points. You didn't say your points. I like that perspective. Are the points, do the points go with the horse as opposed to the competitor?
Yeah.
Ah, so do you show more than one horse do, or compete with?
On one competition, you can just one horse use.
Okay.
Everybody, but you can go to competitions and you can use other horse. Every competition, mm-hmm. so it's not important. You need to use just yours.
Okay, so you probably always have young ones coming up. How many horses do you have?
I especially have just one.
Okay,
but at home we have 8 horses.
Mm-hmm. And these are with your family. Your dad's training.
Yeah,
with them.
We had a group there, a tribe. Because we call these groups, horseback archery groups, tribe. And there is a school at home. So there are, I think, 15 or 16 people now studying mm-hmm. the horseback archery.
So if you were going to talk to a young kid these days, you know,
yeah.
you're, how old are you now?
20? I'm 26. 20? No, 25. Today 25. Is 25.
That's tomorrow right. Tomorrow's your birthday.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So still 25. But if you were to talk to that 10-year-old or 12-year-old boy or girl who wants to get into horseback archery, what would you say to them? What would you say to them to do first to go learn?
Good idea.
Good idea. Get
good
into
idea. It will be first my sentence, but... it is a very disciplined something. You need to focus on that, and you need to think it sure and seriously, because it is a long way, very long way. The results are coming just, I don't know how many years later. Yeah, so I will recommend for them work hard and think it seriously.
Yeah, think long term when you're getting into this sport.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I 18 years.
Wow. So you mostly remember just doing this. Yeah.
And when did you see the results? After how many years?
What kind of my first result was in 2004. It was my first competition, and not so big result, but it was my first. And the first good result was, I think, at 2008 or 2007. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I became the fifth or the sixth in the world. So it was a very, very
good
big
result.
Yeah, I liked it. So it was a very big honor for me.
Yeah. So as a mom, I'm going to ask this question. Is there any inherent danger? You say it's a martial art, you know, and most martial arts, you know, they teach a lot of Taekwondo and stuff. You don't make contact. You don't get hurt. And I don't see where you would get hurt in this sport, but maybe there's some...
As a martial arts, it's not the contact because we can't use arrows.
Good, yeah.
Again.
Really glad to hear that.
But the mental parts and the spirit of the sport, it is very close to martial arts because it was a fighting style. So our ancients, it used in a battle. So it is very, very close to martial arts and for
the
us.
Mindset, probably.
The so mindset
you
makes
really
sense
have to be focused and
yes, taking all that mind, body, and horse together. So you said that Laosh Kashai sort of got this started as a sport in the 70s, but what happened to it? You know, obviously it goes way back in tradition. What happened in?
It is a good question. I don't know exactly what, but in Hungary, there was a very big change of the fighting style in 1000 because the church is coming inside to Hungary, and the horseback archery was part of the old world, old Hungarian world, and they want to chase down this feels in the people.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring knights and the West culture to mm-hmm. Hungary.
I see. Yeah, so Western culture what was more accepted, and they were frowning on the Hungarian culture.
And they were really afraid of the Hungarian horseback archers.
Ah,
yeah.
So there was this motivation.
It was
because
something
Mongols,
nobody knew earlier, yeah, and it was like, oh my God.
And it's pity because if we see the Mongols, they are coming in 1200, and they chase down everybody.
Yeah, pretty intimidating.
It was more
like
effective fighting style and the battlefield. So
since I have two Hungarians here, I should say, tell us a little bit about the history of the horse, because really you guys kind of go back to epicenter of where horses came from in all our disciplines, didn't you? That Mongolia, Hungary, Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
Sorry, look at that. There was a tender spot there.
They are near Slovakia and Czech Republic, but they are no horse riding nation. No, it is just nowadays, but there is Western.
Could barely ride in a covered wagon, right?
they don't have a tradition, horse riding tradition. Mm-hmm. But
tell us about the Hungarian tradition of horseback riding. It's amazing.
You believe we, like Hungarians, came from the East?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe.
It's not what I studied, but I believe so. Yeah.
Is there a...
Yeah, because, we're supposed to come, at least the language supposed to come from Finnish.
It's,
and there's a big fight about it. So, the traditional things and the horses, that this style, it should come from the east.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Scythian nation, mm-hmm. Scythians. I think, and many people think, and in Hungary, and the scientists and these big people, mm-hmm. they say Scythians are ancestors and Huns. Mm-hmm. So the history in the Hungarian people always was with horses, mm-hmm. always something connected.
Well, what I'd like to get into a little bit is about horsemanship too, and how natural horsemanship, or the harmony between horse and rider, has come to Hungary, and how Hungary has come to the rest of the world too in seeking out people like Monty Roberts and people and join up, and how is that changing things, or how is it that the world maybe is embracing what Hungary's always done all along? Can you talk to that a little bit?
I don't know in the past how was that, but I think now, as a natural horsemanship, we can thanks so much from a Western culture, because for example, Monty Roberts, he was the first who showed us how we can do it without violence. Mm-hmm. And there is many people now, fortunately, who use non-violence teaching methods, and this world is so open, so we can learn on the internet, on courses, and everything come to Hungary too. So it is very good, and I think now in Hungary people grow up to this level.
To do it different, to do it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're more open to it because they've just grown up with it. Now the ideas are starting to take hold in the youth.
Yeah.
That's great.
What do you think I was in the old times in Hungary? Was it more like horsemanship, or was it more violent? I don't know.
No, it was different. It was the horsemanship, as I know, it was very complex with the military part.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the soldiers made it mainly. So it was very disciplined and very strict. But there was a Camp Erkény. Do you know it?
Camp Erkény?
Erkény. These horsemen was one of the big horsemen in the world. Mm. For example, one horseman, how is he called? He made here one of the biggest school in America. Mm. After in a communism, he have to escape from Hungary. So he made it, what is his name? Oh,
this is testing your history. So this probably goes back to World War II?
Yeah, after that.
He escapes. Uh-huh.
And there were very big horsemen. But in the communism, everything collapsed.
Yeah, in communism. There was a veterinarian that we had working here that was Hungarian that did get out from Germany. He was practicing both in Germany and Hungary, I guess. He was pretty famous. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to remember his name right now.
Oh, but I know a name. Uh-huh. Bertalan Németi.
Oh, do you know that name?
He made here, I don't know where exactly, in the USA, but he made it, and it is very big, very big. And
is it still working?
Yeah, as I know, but I don't know what is the name of the school.
Okay.
But his name was?
Bertalan Németi. And it was the challenge for him. There were a horse who didn't want to step back.
Okay.
And they, people said, who able go back with horse. He was the leader of our school.
Oh.
And I don't know how many people tried it. And everybody has just 20 minutes. Uh-huh. And everybody start to back up and nothing happened. Horse done. And then come this guy, Bertalan. And he start work with horse. And nothing with backup. No. Just work with horse. And they watch the watch and, okay, then thank you very much. Okay, what the horse need to do? Step back up. Okay, then here you are.
And he backed up.
Yeah.
He won.
He became the leader of the team.
He became the leader of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because that, at that point, the horse was totally cooperative with whatever he wanted to do, and he backed up. Makes good sense. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty story. Close it's to legend. What Monty is doing with the dually.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's true. But he didn't have a dually to work with.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same principle.
Yeah. So, Sophie, you go back into the horsemanship, too. When did you get... You got into horses when you were a young girl?
Yeah, but I didn't really do it seriously. My first experience was about age 2 or 3.
Oh, that's
my parents. Yeah,
far back.
It was just a little, like a kid's riding. My parents put me on a horse, a little pony.
And that's in Hungary.
In Hungary. Mm-hmm. And it took just a couple of minutes, and the round ended, and they couldn't take me off the horse.
You
like
go home.
2 or 3 people were like tried to get off me the horse, and I was just screaming, no, holding with my legs and arms. So that's how it started. My addiction. And I had connection with horses and I rode not too much. My parents didn't really let me ride. And I had an accident at age 10. Mm. So I still continued, but not that seriously. Mm. And I was about 24 and when I realized I can't live without this at all. And so then I started ride seriously and regularly. And I bought my horse at age 28. So, and that's where the whole thing started. I didn't really know anything about horse training at that time. Just like basic riding things. And I had some little problems with her. And it was exactly the time when our first Hungarian instructor, Kata Pataki, started to have her courses. And she scheduled one exactly my birthday. And that's the best time. So maybe
what?
I should check it. So it was just a one-day join, of course. And so I went there, and I loved the whole thing. And that's how it started. And
fantastic. So Kata got you involved in the join-up.
And my horse. Yeah, I wouldn't be here today now without my horse.
Oh, that's fantastic. What's the name of your horse?
If I translate it, it's Velvet, because she's vet.
Velvet.
She's black velvet.
She's black velvet. That's nice. But you've told me that you've talked about maybe taking some of these concepts into other parts of life as well with the horses. Talk a little bit about that.
You mean the therapy programs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always liked the principle this way, using the horses as a therapy. And my experiences just with my horse and my friends, there was a little bit of that because I have some friends, they never really touched a horse before. And, oh, just come on over, just check it, that's fine, that's a really cool thing. And so they just came over like colleagues or just some good friends and, oh, I'm not sure about that. Oh. And so they had like the first touch and like a few parts later, they just riding my horse and they were just, oh my god, I love this. So it was a wonderful experience. And so I saw them like heal, open up a little bit, healing. One of my best friends, she started crying on my horse. Is it normal? And yes, it's normal. They have a wonderful energy, and if you let it go in, it helps you healing and help you get better or just find yourself and a lot of other things. And here at Flaggies of Farms, my first experience with the horse sense of healing, I became totally addicted. That really did the magic, even if I was just watching it. So people like came back after wars and they don't trust anybody and they don't really want connection with anybody or animals or nobody. And they just go through this whole process and you see them changing. It brings up their problems they need to face with, and it's really it does the magic. And so now I'm here. It's my third time this weekend, and it's always something new. It's always something I want to experience more and more and more. And that's what I could really imagine in the future, because there are a lot of therapy programs for people like this, or even handicapped people, anything. And but this one has something extra, and it's to join up. The moment when you really can get that trust, you earn that trust, because horses don't trust you as well. You have to earn it. And that's when you do that session and they just came to you and say, okay, I trust you and you can trust me. That's wonderful.
It is. Did you get to talk to some of the veterans that had gone through too? Like, did you walk the horses back with them and yeah, just listen a little bit?
Yeah. And it's very interesting because I never had these experiences. Like the first time I felt, oh my God, I have no idea what they went through, because I can't really even imagine. Yeah. But they open up, and when they just start talking, you feel that and you get involved, and it's wonderful, and it really helps them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting, too. A lot of the military go into law enforcement. You know, they become police officers. I mean, and everything that they're going through right now is we're getting more people out there with traumatic experiences now. It seems like horses are needed more than ever before.
Yes.
Can you see? Yeah,
yes,
can you
absolutely
see that growing? Yeah, I think so too. And tell us a little bit why you think horses, as opposed to any other kind of animal therapy, is different.
You mean why the horse is mm-hmm. different with the therapies? Mm-hmm. There's always one sentence in my mind. I studied a little bit of like horse chiropractic, horse massage. And the guy said, when he works with people too and works with horses too, and somebody asked him once, what's the difference between like working with people and horses? And he said, when he works with people, his energy just goes out. So it needs more energy to work on people, and horses just give it back.
Oh, that's awesome.
And anytime he works with the horses, he just feels like charged up, mm-hmm. because they really give it. And I think almost like every type of animal can do it. But horses, they just want to give more, mm-hmm. or they really want to help you. They really feel you, and they want that connection with you.
Yeah, and they don't ask much for it either, do they?
You know,
their motivation seems to be exactly different than
and,
the dogs.
And they really feel what it's going yeah. inside yeah. you.
They do. They're mirrors. They're
exactly
very empathetic yeah. that way too. Very interesting. Well, we wish you well in all that too. It would be exciting to watch your career go on, and the lodge too. It would be really fun. So am I going to see you out here shooting arrows and demonstrating?
Yeah, I practice every day. So.
Oh, do you? Okay, good.
Yeah, of course.
So make sure you tell me where you are so I don't get shot.
Okay.
Sounds like a pretty good target though. I'll stay away from that. I'll look for that big target out there.
Yeah, rather.
Yeah,
good. I look forward to that. Maybe we can get some photos up on the show notes so that we can show people a little bit about your form. And yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're very smart, because there are so many women in this sport of horses, right, in the discipline of horses. Very few men. So, you know, it's pretty much your game to win here.
Okay.
There's nothing but women around here.
Then.
So you got it made. Got it made. And he knows where the Maverick is in the San Ynez Valley, which has now become famous. And,
I know.
Because we did a night of inspiration last weekend, and Balaj slipped out right after dinner. And I know I think they all went to the Maverick. Do you have the Maverick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got it. Everybody on Horses in the Morning knows about the Maverick. So it's pretty famous now. Well, thank you both for sharing a little bit of Hungary and horseback archery. And horses. Always love to talk about horses here, and I'd love to have you back sometime too.
We all hear about omega-3 and how important it is for your horse's nutrition, but why? Well, simply put, horses were created to get all of their nutrition from live natural grasses. Omega-3 is an essential fat found in many types of live grasses, and it's critical to the horse's health. If they were living on live grasses 24/7, they would be receiving enough omega-3. But in today's world, most horses are fed commercial feed and forage as their primary nutrition, and most of these are lacking in omega-3. That's where Omega Fields comes in. All of Omega Fields' flax-based products provide a balanced essential profile of omega-3, 6, 9, and may be helpful in alleviating problems related to skin, coat, hoof, joint, and sand colic. One of Omega Fields' terrific products is Omega Horse Shine. Omega Horse Shine is an omega-3 stabilized ground flaxseed supplement for horses to help maintain a shiny, healthy coat, strong, solid hooves, and top performance for horses in all life stages. Omega Fields provides the best human-grade, non-GMO ground flax that can help horses with dry, scaly, itchy skin, joint pain and inflammation, poor hoof growth, allergies, and more. Don't just listen to Debbie and I. Alexandra, a customer of Omega Field, says any horse I ever own, I will feed them Omega Horse Shine and I will recommend it to anyone. You can get your Omega Horse Shine today at OmegaFields.com, or just for our listeners, get 15% off using the coupon code Monty2015. All one word, it's Monty2015 for 15% off your next order at OmegaFields.com. That's OmegaFields.com.
Up next, we have our trainer's tip, and it's comes from Mark Hebner, and his tip is talking about something about how you should have your movement down to this when you're working around your horses. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Mark Hebner from IFA.com. Thanks again for agreeing to come back and sharing. We talked a little bit about your background in horses and your company and how you're able to own horses and have a beautiful spread out in Rancho Santa Margarita, Costa de Caza, California. Yep. We wanted to know something about what you've learned over these last few years in just diving in head first into horses. Really, I mean, you had roots in New Mexico, but you were not a horse person maybe 4 or 5 years ago, is it now? Something
this is,
like that?
This is all your fault, Debbie.
I'm so sorry. Not.
I'm going to tell a quick story. I don't know. We probably don't have a lot of time, but Debbie came to our wedding. She sat next to a friend of ours, and after they were chatting, our friend decided to get a horse, you know, from Flag Is Up Farms, one that Monty Roberts had trained and stuff. And then my wife started seeing that and going, man, I'd like to have a horse. Next thing I know, I got two horses.
At least.
But one quick lesson that I learned in the many trips up to visiting your father, Monty Roberts, at his horse clinics, that always stuck in my mind, and I think of it often when I'm around my horse, is to move like you're moving in oil. And you just see this. The minute somebody new comes along and they make some jerk reaction, you see the horse just kind of pull back, or their skin just kind of flinch a little bit. And you're reminded how they're so sensitive to quick movements. And so that's my little horse tip.
That's great. No, so moving like oil, in oil, like you're in oil, is a little different. Some people think it's kind of like sneaking up on the horse, kind of slinky looking, but it's not that, right?
No, it's just moving calm, just being calm, basically, is what it is.
Yeah.
And so you're not making quick movements or jerking around. Those big eyes on that horse, they just see everything.
They do, don't they? They catch it all. It's peripheral. So, you can't sneak around them.
And they've been taught to run from danger. So if you're moving quick, it feels like danger to them. And so, I don't know. That was just one that came to mind.
That's a good tip, because I think a lot of people, when they're new to horses, they're worried about being flinchy. And actually, it happens that way then. When they're worried about it, they think, oh, pull my hand away. Oh, I didn't mean for him to. And then the horse now is suspicious of everything
that's
about that person. So, yeah. And it's a good,
like
you had said in your interview, that you use this this recreation in horses to get away and calm down, and your whole physiology is more at peace. So that means your heart rate's lower, your breathing is lower. And this is all part of that too, in remembering that the horse's physiology syncs with you. So it's a great tip.
Well, there's a reason they call it therapeutic riding. It's actually therapeutic, even if you don't have issues where the horse is helping you. And, you know, just the way the horse walks, it's sort of melodic, you know. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of all these old Roy Rogers Dale Evanson songs as I'm walking along on the horse. It's great. I love it.
Good. Awesome. Great lifestyle. Thanks for sharing that today. Mark Hebner from IFA.com.
Right.
Hi, I'm Monty Roberts, and I'm dedicated to training horses without pain. You can learn to do it too on my Equus Online University. Western, English, the beginner, or the advanced rider, it doesn't matter. You can connect with other students online too on our forum, and there's a new lesson every week. It's a lifetime of learning for you on my Equus Online University at MontyRoberts.com.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Where in the world is Monty Roberts?
Monty is looking forward to meeting some new friends, two-legged and four-legged, in England, October 23 at the Hart Perry College in Gloucester, October 29 at Marist Wood College, October 31, Halloween, on Ingleston Country Club, all the way up in Scotland. And then back in California, Pat Roberts has two events going on. November 6, she has Horses for Leaders, a professional development workshop at Flagazette Farms, building trust-based relationships. And then following that, we have November 7 and 8, Wild at Heart Weekend with the sculptress and equestrian Pat Roberts and friends.
And you can see more at MontyRoberts.com, or you can give them a call the old-fashioned way at 805-688-6288. I didn't miss my cue, Debbie. Did you notice
you
that?
You did.
I just,
perfect.
It's the first time
just
in 50 episodes. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. For details about today's show, go to horsemanshipradio.com where you can find links, photos, and more information about our guests. As always, we love your feedback. Please follow us on Facebook under facebook.com/Monty Roberts and at Twitter at twitter.com/Monty_Roberts. And of course, the app is the best place to listen to the show. Just go to Horse Radio Network on iTunes or Android. Just search for that, and it's free and it's easy to do.
It is. And many thanks to our sponsors, IFA.com, Omega Fields, and Monty's Equus Online University. Be sure to visit all the other great shows on Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. But until next time, have many happy horse hours.